is good prayer. We ought to be grateful for our health and well-being that enables us to be together on this fine day. It's a beautiful day. Did you hear the birds chirping? Feel the warmth, and it kindly gives us a taste of what's to come if the Lord will. And occasions like this of our being together to blend our voices and singing praise to our God, to petition Him in prayer, to open the pages of His Word together and study, kindly gives us a taste of what's to come in heaven, if the Lord will. This is a little bit of heaven on earth, and we look forward to occasions when we can be together like this. It's my privilege to stand before you, and I'm happy that you're with us today. Appreciate Jason leading us in that song, which serves as a basis for our study today. Dare to stand like Joshua. We just finished a study of the book of Joshua and a consideration of the character and the conviction of this great leader of the Lord's people is only fitting. And I've tried to capture that in the theme of our study today that is suggested by this song, Dare to Stand Like Joshua. That word dare suggests the idea of courage. And when Joshua took the position of leadership of the Lord's people, it came time for the people to cross the Jordan. God preached the funeral of Moses and charged Joshua with these words, be strong and of a good courage. In Joshua 1 and in verse 6, he said in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. As you pick up your New Testament and read and study, you have to be impressed with the fact that God calls upon us to be a standing people. To the Corinthians, Paul penned these words in 1 Corinthians 16:13, stand fast in the faith. When he wrote the Galatians, who are being troubled by Judaizing teachers, who are binding fleshly circumcision, trying to tempt them and entice them to revert to Old Testament law-keeping to be saved, he said, stand fast in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5 and verse 1. As you come to the Ephesian letter, Paul appealed to the saints at Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 and in verse 11. In verse 13 he continued, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and he talked about the other items of armor with which you and I are to be adorned. And then in Philippians 1 and verse 27, when Paul wrote to the good church at Philippi, he said, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Philippians 4 and 1, he said, stand fast in the Lord. When he wrote the Colossians in chapter 4 and verse 12, he said, stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 was admonished, stand fast and hold the traditions. And so as a Christian, God expects me to have my feet on the ground. He doesn't want me to be wishy-washy, to just fall for anything and everything. But you and I must stand. We've got to have courage and conviction to stand for what the Bible teaches and stand against those things opposed to God and His Word. And in an effort to encourage us to stand today, I want us to be impressed with a man who stood, an outstanding man of God by the name of Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. His name appears 216 times throughout the book of God. And as you pick up your Bible and you make a study of the life of Joshua, you'll be impressed with a number of occasions where Joshua stood. I'd like to call a few of those to your attention. I want you to be impressed, first of all, with the fact that here's a man who stood against the enemies of the Lord. When there were those who had come and fight against the Lord's people and tried to take their stand against the Lord, Joshua stood opposed to them. The first scene of that is in Exodus chapter 17. In verse 8, we find the people in a place called Rephidim. Amalek came and fought with Israel. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. If you'd been Joshua, would you have gone out to fight? Would you have stood against the enemies of the Lord? Would you have had the courage to do that? The Lord said, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And this is that familiar scene when Moses' hands were let down and Amalek prevailed. When his hands were held up, Israel prevailed. And so when his hands became heavy, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. In verse 13 says, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Do you know why it can be said Joshua discomfited Amalek? Because Joshua dared to stand. And you have this first written book when the Lord said, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. As you come to the book that bears his name, you're impressed with a man who stood against the enemies of the Lord. Remember Moses before his departure. As he stood in the plains of Moab and preached obedience to the people that would possess the land, he talked about in Deuteronomy 7 and in verse 2 that the Lord thy God shall deliver them, that is, these seven nations, greater and mightier than thou before thee. Thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. They'll turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. And he talked to them about how to deal with them. Destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. And the reason is, thou art an holy people unto the Lord. God has chosen thee to be a special people, above all people. I believe Joshua recognized that. He understood the fact that God's people were special people and that they were not to compromise with these inhabitants. They were not to enter into a covenant or a peaceful relationship with them. As Joshua stood against the Lord's enemies, he did that in the taking of Jericho. When God said in Joshua chapter 6 in verse 2, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Here you're charged to take this city. The king and the mighty men of valor. Would you have dared to do that? Would you have had the courage to do that? And the Lord gave him instruction as to how that was to be done. And Joshua rose early in the morning, Joshua 6 and verse 12. And Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, in verse 16. And verse 27 says, the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. When you read in the book of Joshua and the 8th chapter, you find him standing against Ai, the city being taken by ambush and set on fire. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000. Joshua 8:25. The king of Ai, he hanged on a tree. In verse 29, you're impressed with Joshua standing against the enemies of the Lord. Again in chapter 10, when five kings of the Amorites came against the Lord's people. The Bible says in verse 26, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And in verse 40, Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. You can't read that and not be impressed with the fact that here's a man who stood against the enemies of the Lord. Another occasion in which this great man of God stood is when he stood against an evil report. You remember the spy story? In Numbers 13, when Moses sent 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. After 40 days of searching, they return and bring back word. They told him in verse 27, "We came unto land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." Can you see him holding the cut down branch with a cluster of grapes that was bare between two upon a staff? And the pomegranates and the figs? Nevertheless, here's where they get themselves into trouble. "The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." In verse 31, they said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Because of this evil report, the people got to murmuring. In verse 2 of chapter 14, "All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron." What they say, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt." It'd been better for us to die in Egypt or to have died in this wilderness. "Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" They said, "Let's make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Now, suppose you'd been Joshua. And you'd been one of these spies that were sent, and you'd heard this evil report, and you gave ear to the murmuring of the people. Would you have dared to stand against that? Verse 6 says, "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." They were troubled by this evil report. They were disturbed, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel. Here's what Joshua said, along with Caleb. "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not." You remember the reaction of the people? All the congregation bade stone them with stones. How'd you like to face that kind of an audience? Here you put your faith and trust in the Lord, trying to urge the people, "Don't rebel against God. He'll be with us. He'll bring us in the land." And they want to stone you with stones. It'd taken some courage to stand, wouldn't it? Joshua stood. And in verse 30, after pointing out the consequences of this ill report and the complaining that it brought about, he said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. And then again in verse 38, but Joshua and Caleb, which were the men that went to search the land, live still. You know what happened to those other men that searched the land? They died by the plague before the Lord. You know why Joshua and Caleb still stood? Because they stood for the Lord. They stood against that evil report. They stood against the majority. When the majority said, we be not able, and the majority of people were complaining and murmuring, Joshua and Caleb stood against that evil report. Would you have done that? You know, there may be a lot of people who'll tell you it can't be done. And they may see every obstacle in the way. They may say, we be not able. Let me ask you, would you have the courage, would you dare to stand like Joshua and say, let us go up at once, for we be well able? There's no end to what we can accomplish when the Lord is on our side. Joshua stood, and he and one other, Caleb, among those, stood. Sometimes when you stand, you have to stand alone, don't you? Do you have that kind of conviction? Do you have that kind of courage that even if everybody else is against you and they want to stone you with stones, that you're going to stand against evil and for the Lord? Let me give you another example of when Joshua stood. And that is, we find Joshua standing in a position of leadership. In Numbers 27, the Lord told Moses to go up to a mountain, he would see the land, but when he saw it, he'd be gathered under his people like Aaron. Remember when Aaron went up to Mount Hor and he was gathered to his people and those priestly garments were taken from him and put upon his son? It's kind of a sad story with Moses. He'd come so far, done so much. Because of his rebellion at the waters of Meribah, remember God said, speak to the rock. With his rod he smote it, with his lips he spake unadvisedly. And so the Lord said, because of that, you're not going to bring this congregation into the land. You're going to see it, but not enter it. And so Moses just gave up, didn't he? He quit. He thought, I messed up. I can't enter the land, and so I might as well just not do anything, right? I can't be of use. I can't be of any value. No, that's not his attitude. One thing that impresses me about him is that though he failed on that occasion, he didn't quit, he didn't give up, and God still had use for him. And he still put the best interest of the Lord's people at heart. He was concerned about them after he was gone. He said to the Lord in verse 16, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. God's always provided leadership for his people. Moses provided that during the Egyptian deliverance and wilderness wandering time. But Moses is soon to be gathered under his people, and wants to take his place. And at verse 18, the Lord said unto Moses, take thee, take who? Joshua. You have to respect the fact that of all those that the Lord could have chosen to take his place, he said, take Joshua. I wonder why he said, take Joshua. Are you impressed with the fact that here's a man that stood? The character, the conviction that was in this man? A man in whom is the Spirit set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Put some of your honor upon him, that the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar, who shall ask counsel for him. At his word shall they go out. At his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And so Joshua is taken and set before all the congregation and given a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And so Joshua now stands in a position of leadership among the Lord's people. If you'd been Joshua, would you have assumed that position? Would you have had the courage? Would you have dared to stand in a position of leadership? Think about the task that lies before you. To lead the people into that promised land. To lead them in battle against all these enemies. To try to drive out these inhabitants. Would you have been up to the task? Or would you have said, here, why don't you find somebody else to do that? I don't know if I'm up to that. You know, there are far too many places today who can be described by this language as sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord expects His people to have proper leadership. And as the Lord's flock, Christ is the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd and the great shepherd. And so we have good leadership with the Lord as the head of the church. But in every local church, the Lord has called for elders. Acts 14:23, in every city, Titus 1 and verse 5. Would you have the courage to stand in that position of leadership? To read and to incorporate into your life those characteristics and abilities that would qualify you to stand in that position? As detailed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1. To be the kind of man that would be selected by the congregation. To be the kind of woman that would equip and qualify your husband. As Joshua stood in that position of leadership, we need some Joshuas today who are willing to stand in positions of leadership among the Lord's people. That the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Let me give you another example of when Joshua stood. I recommend to you that Joshua was a man who stood for obedience. I believe his name is synonymous with obedience. You cannot think of Joshua and not think about a man that obeyed God. In Joshua chapter 5, I think about the fact that the wandering people had been a neglectful people. They were negligent in keeping the circumcision command given back in the book of Genesis to the great patriarch Abraham. Joshua 5 and 2, the Lord said to Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise the children of Israel. And look at verse 3. Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel. And the reason is they hadn't done that. The people that were born in the wilderness had not been circumcised, verse 5. And notice in verse 7, their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. You know why the Lord rolled away the reproach from His people? Because Joshua stood for obedience. And he kept the Passover in verse 10. Remember the initial observance back in Exodus 12? And that was to be kept annually. It was a night much to be observed, and God made provision for an annual remembrance of the Passover. They kept that. And so Joshua was a commandment, law-keeping man, wasn't he? Again, to be impressed with the obedience of Joshua, in chapter 11, we find some kings that have come to fight against Joshua and the Lord's people. The Lord said in verse 6 of Joshua 11, be not afraid, be courageous, dare to stand. For tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hawk the horses and burn the chariots with fire. And look at verse 9. Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. In verse 12, Joshua did as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. And I like this statement. It kindly sums up the life of Joshua in one sentence. In verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, So did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. What a comprehensive statement that describes this man's faith and obedience. He left nothing undone. And wouldn't it be great if the Lord could say that about your life, about my life? He left nothing undone. She left nothing undone of all that was commanded. And in verse 23, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said. You know, some just want to do part of what the Lord said. Some of it. He did it all. What about us? He stood for obedience. And again in Joshua 22, when the 2.5 tribes returned to the land of their possession on the east side of Jordan, he stood for obedience. He charged them, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him, to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. Joshua 22:5. What's he doing? He's standing for obedience. And then in chapter 23, when we have his exhortation to the leaders of Israel before his death, he said in verse 6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." He's standing for obedience. Will we stand for obedience? Will we take our stand today that, as the Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. We make that decision and exemplify that in our own lives. That when folks think of our name and they think of us, they think of the person who stands for obedience. That maybe folks are negligent when it comes to the keeping of some commands, like the folks were negligent in the keeping of circumcision. But when they think of you, they think of one who stands for doing and keeping. Another occasion when Joshua stood. As you think about, dare to stand like Joshua. Here's a man who stood against sin in the camp. You remember when Jericho was being taken, the Lord said in the book of Joshua, chapter 6 and verse 18, "Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed." And in chapter 7, Achan took of the accursed thing. As a result, 36 men lost their lives in battle against Ai. Joshua was distressed about that. In fact, he rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, in verse 6. And the Lord said, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. They have taken up the accursed thing, stolen and dissembled, and put it among their own stuff." Verses 10 and 11. And the Lord said, "I won't be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you." Verse 12, suppose you'd been in Joshua's shoes. Would you have stood against that evil? Would you have allowed that to continue? The Lord saw fit to record this scene in Joshua's life. When in verse 13 it is said, "Up, sanctify the people." Say, "Sanctify yourselves." And then verse 16, Joshua rose up early in the morning. He didn't hesitate. He didn't delay. Brought Israel by their tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. The family of Judah. The family of the Zarahites. Man by man until he brought Achan before him. And Joshua said to Achan, "Give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him. Tell me what you've done. Don't hide it." And he told him. He saw that good garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, and he coveted them and took them, hid them in his tent. And Joshua took them out. He said in verse 25, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Here's a man who stood against sin in the camp. And like it or not, when there's sin in the camp, it needs to be stood against. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul talked about a situation in Corinth where there was immorality among them. and they were puffed up about it. Paul said that he that hath done this deed should be taken away from among you. And because of their obedience to that command, in 2 Corinthians, the man was restored. And the Lord said you ought to forgive him and comfort him, lest he be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Paul charged the church at Thessalonica, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Would you be willing to stand against sin in the camp? And then one other example. There are many others that you could think of perhaps. But when I thought about dare to stand like Joshua, I thought about a man who stood for serving the Lord. I think about that passage upon which the song that we just sang is based. Joshua 24. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's contained in verse 15. The setting finds Joshua gathering all Israel together. It's his parting speech. And I'm impressed with how he started. He said, thus saith the Lord God. You know, some today want to start with a funny story. Or some other way, but here's a man who began his speech by saying, thus saith the Lord. You can't improve on that. And he gave a brief history of God's benefits to his people, from the call of Abraham to their being given the land. And as he came to the conclusion, he said in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him, just serve him any way you want to, right? Because he'll accept just any kind of service. No. He said, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. What's he doing? He's standing for serving the Lord. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It would seem that the people were undecided as to who would have their allegiance, whether the Lord, the God that brought them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness and brought them into the land and gave it to them. Or they're going to serve the gods of their fathers, the gods of the Amorites. But Joshua made it known as to who he would serve. He wasn't undecided. He wasn't unsettled. No, he stood. He dared to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And he appealed to them to make that choice. Choose. You see, man is a creature that possesses the power and privilege of choice. We're not puppets on a string. We're not robots that have been programmed. We are free moral agents. That's seen in the garden. When God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The devil came along and said, ye shall not surely die. They had a choice. To hear and heed God or to hear and heed the devil. And Joshua recognized that these folks had a choice too. So he said, choose. Choose you. Nobody can make this choice for you. It's a personal choice that you must make for yourself. Choose you. Like the jail keeper in Philippi said, what must I do to be saved? When do you think a fellow ought to make up his mind about these things? Choose next year. Choose next month. Choose next week. Choose tomorrow. No, he said, choose you this day. This day is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. This day is the only day we really have. As the wise man said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, 1. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You have a choice as to whom you'll serve. You can serve God or you can serve mammon. But no man, as Jesus said, can serve two masters. You can't ride the fence. You can't have one foot in the world, one foot in the Lord's body. It doesn't work that way. Because you either love one more than the other. And so whom will you serve? They said, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 18. A good choice, wasn't it? But they weren't really ready to do that. Joshua said, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He'll not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he'll turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. And the people said, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. They could not serve the Lord in their present condition. They could not serve the Lord in their sins. They could not serve the Lord and hold on to these strange gods. And so Joshua said, put them away from among you and incline your heart unto the Lord. You know, there are those who want to try to serve the Lord and they want to hold on to some idol. They want to hold on to something that would come before them and the Lord. They want to have one foot in the Lord's church and one foot out here in the world. They're trying to ride the fence. And would to God we had some Joshua among us who'd have the courage to say, ye cannot serve the Lord like that. The Lord won't accept that. Would to God we'd have the determination of the people to say, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. It's a good statement. It's a good attitude, isn't it? Verse 24, though others may forsake the Lord, may it be our choice to dare to stand like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the kind of parents we need. That's the kind of fathers that we need. The kind of husbands that we need today. That have the courage and the conviction to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so when you think about Joshua, I hope that you'll think about a man who stood. He stood against the enemies of the Lord. He stood against an evil report. He stood in a position of leadership. He stood for obedience. He stood against sin in the camp. He stood for serving the Lord. And so we sing, we are bound for Canaan land, tending by the way. Who shall lead us on the road? Choose your king today. When the dark red sea of doubt billowed in our way, then he parted every wave. So he will today. Just before us, Jordan rolls. Just across the way, we can safely trust the Lord. He shall lead us today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we'll serve the Lord. Won't you come, having heard the word, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've done that, but you've become unfaithful. You've drifted away. Won't you come back to faithful service by repenting of that of which you're guilty, and confessing it to God in prayer, as together we stand and sing, we invite you.